football on Off the Ball.
Slot has taken a lot of criticism for a lot of issues which are actually out with his control, and he does have credit in the bank having won the title last season with what, just buying one player, Chiesa, who was rarely used, and, you know, winning the title. He is manager of the year.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 126 of The Racing Pod here on Off the Ball. Remember, we're here every week, every Friday, with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. A reminder as well, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your pods. John Duggan with you as always. Johnny Ward is taking a break this week. We're delighted to have Tom Malone of the Irish Field in studio and our special guest, trainer Philip Rothwell. Philip and Tom, how are we both doing?
Brilliant. Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, good, good. It's been brilliant. It's been brilliant. It's a great time of the year, isn't it? Just racing-wise, yeah. You know, just at the back
festivals.
Of entry, looking forward to Punchestown, and then the flat really kicking off. I think it's brilliant.
You were impressed with Ian Maximus and the win last week. They were parading, and I think it's Loughlin Bridge, isn't it?
Loughlin Bridge, yeah.
Yeah, on Thursday, Ian Maximus and Soldier Milan, Willie Mullins and Emmett Mullins and all the jockeys, and Jamie McManus was there. Really good time for Irish racing.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's so nice to be involved in it in any small way at all. I thought the ride that Paul gave Ian Maximus was something just out of an under drawer. It was really, really special. I think there's not very many people in the world that would have won on him. And just the way he got around from A to B, each fence, and always seemed to be in the right place at the right time. And from where he was, from the second last to the line, I just thought Paul gave him the horse an absolute incredible ride, and probably as good as you'd ever see. So it was fantastic.
He knew not to produce the horse too soon or too late. You just got the fractions completely right then.
Yeah, and just looked after the horse the whole way around. I'd say just got the most out of him everywhere. It was really special to watch. I thought it was an incredible ride altogether.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. And just when you consider, you know, the... like the pressure he must have been under, and like, it's not like the horse, I know he won, but everything wasn't perfect. You know, he rubbed a few, he seemed to kind of get a little bit lazy in the middle of the race. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't just a case that, yes, Paul Townend sat and delivered the horse. As Philip said, like, you know, he nursed him through it. He was involved as well in the decision to put cheek pieces on him, which, you know, everyone was very complimentary about after the race. And yeah, sublime performance, sublime. Just, I do feel like there is almost an element of, you know, underappreciation of Paul Townend's talents because he gets to ride so many good horses, but he makes so few mistakes. Like, that's the thing for me, is it's a mentality thing. Like, even, you know, in the run up to the likes of Cheltenham, just even have the confidence to go and say, I'm only going to take 3 or 4 rides a day. Like, you know, it's just that. And then what he could potentially be missing out on doesn't seem to bother him because, you know, he's gone and won a Champion Hurdle, Champion Chase, Gold Cup and Grand National in the space of a couple of months. It's all brilliant stuff. But some of those rides have been excellent as well, you know, and it is obviously he's on the best horses, but his ability to produce those horses and make the right decisions on those horses is just kind of what sets him apart from a lot of the rest of the way room.
4 Grand Nationals for Rudy Mullins at Aintree now, Philip, and 3 in a row back to Vincent O'Brien, the 50s, the last time that happened. And I think with Willie, the interesting thing is that it's about getting the horses there on the day, and most of the time he's able to do that.
He has a huge string of horses put together with the ability to go there, but that's something that he's built himself. I think Willie, Gordon, Henry, the guys that are at the top of the table in our country, Gavin, I suppose, as well, on numbers. These guys have brought a huge number of overseas clients into the country as owners. I've heard people saying that, you know, the numbers that Willie and Gordon would have would probably, as some people would say, would make a mess of our sport a little bit. I don't agree at all. I think they're fabulous people, and they have done an incredible job for jumps racing in Ireland to bring the amount of new people in into our sport and bring them into our country and into our sport. I think they're amazing people. They've set the bar very high for everybody else, and I think it's helped drag the rest of us up to their level, or to try get to their level. And I can only see it as a massive positive for jumps racing. And just I see the crowds going jumps racing at the moment, and the level of positivity around for it is just incredible, and I'm absolutely loving it.
Now, one of the reasons we have you in, Philip, this afternoon is we've been talking on the show over the last few months about the William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge Series. So it covers 50 races at 28 meetings across 13 Irish tracks in the National Hunt season, a prize fund of €135,000. The series has had points allocated per qualifying race to trainers and jockeys from 1st to 7th. An overall table then decides the prize winners following racing at Kilbeggan next Friday. All trainers have been eligible to run horses in the races, but the trainer prize fund, limited to trainers with fewer than 50 winners in the last two seasons in either code. The winning trainer receives €50,000, a prize is down to 10th, the top three riders and stable staff receiving €10,000, €5,000 and €2,500 respectively, and any rider who rides for a qualifying trainer has bonus points allocated. So the series has been supported all season by the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association, the Irish Jockeys Association and the Irish Stable Staff Association. At the moment, Daniel King, the top jockey in the table, had a Philip Enright and Tiernan Power Roach. The runaway leader, though, for trainers yourself, Wicklow's Philip Rothwell. How's it been that this has come to pass with this William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge series? I mean, how important has it been for the trainers and jockeys that sometimes are out of the limelight and sometimes might not have the graded horses?
I sure look at it. It's hugely important. It's a great initiative. It's there for everybody. The spread of races that were put on over the 50 races were beginners' chases, high class handicaps as well as lower class handicaps, bumpers, maiden hurdles. So it was there for everybody to compete in, which is hugely important. The 50 winners and less actually only eliminated four trainers. I know Willie, obviously Gordon, I think Henry de Bromhead and Gavin. So that's it. So outside of that, then it was very important that their stable staff are still eligible to be involved for prize money. I think stable staff are the backbone of every yard, and I publicise that all the time. I have realised over the last 3 or 4 years how important they are to me. Without a good team of people behind you, you've no chance. And I'm very, very fortunate that I have a hugely strong team of people behind me. So that's a massive help. Jockeys then the same thing. It's wonderful. Like, it's nice for Tiernan to be involved in having a chance of picking up a prize again this year. I was very proud of him last year not riding out his claim in his first season, but becoming champion conditional in his first season and picking up the prize in Punchestown last year. I think that was a massive achievement for him, but it was also an achievement for me. This year he has finished off and rode out his claim. So within 2 years, he's rode out his claim and now has a chance of picking up another prize this year, albeit maybe second or third or wherever. It'd be lovely if he could be involved in the William Hill series. So it's great that it supports so many people and has so many people involved in trying to win parts of it. I think it's good that there's a competitive nature the whole way down the line through the trainers, through the jockeys and through the stable staff. And I think that can only be a positive, and really applaud William Hill for getting behind it. I think it's a great initiative.
And look, merit is really important, Tom, and we see that. We want to see the best be the best, but also it's important to recognise everybody in the industry and what this initiative does.
Yeah, and as Philip mentioned there, like, I've been intrigued to know his thoughts on it, because like, getting staff must be so difficult for a smaller yard, particularly in an isolated area, but the opportunities they get, you know, things like this must be a benefit, must be a help for you. But Philip, just on that, because like, we spoke about numbers kind of before we came on air here, and you were saying, well, actually having the better staff is more important than having more staff to facilitate the growth. Maybe just have a chat about that.
Definitely. A number of people have asked me in the last, we'll say, couple of years, since it's been noted that we've had a considerable resurgence in results, sort of where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. I would be hugely ambitious. And with that, I need to have a driven team of people behind me. But the ambition maybe is not for a champion trainer, because I don't ever want to grow the numbers to have the level of numbers that the guys have that would have to be in a position to compete with that. but I dearly want to get back to having runners in graded races in Cheltenham, graded races in Aintree. This year we will have runners at Fairy House. We had runners at Fairy House that were very competitive. Hopefully we'll have very competitive runners in Punchestown. It didn't feel like I had something good enough to go and win in Cheltenham this year. Have had a winner in the past there. That's where we want to go. I'm hugely ambitious. I want to have runners back in Aintree and Cheltenham. Want to grow to have better horses in the yard for the team of people that I have behind me now. I feel some of the staff at home now deserve to have horses to be able to look after to get to those places. And I'm going to work bloody hard to make sure over the next 2 or 3 years that we achieve that. And I do have plans to keep, we'll say, in making our facility better. We've done an awful lot over the last 2 or 3 years. I do have plans going forward to where I want to be and where I want to go. As I say, I just don't need to increase the numbers hugely. I see outside of the stable staff at home, I see the most important thing in racing, and they're second to nobody, is the owners. I want to be in a position whereby that I don't have too many horses. We're up to maybe 80, and I think that's a really nice number. I want to have the time to be able to give to my owners and to be able to look after them to the best that I can possibly do, and to be able to give them the time that they deserve to have from me rather than from somebody in the office. So that's where I want to be. I know exactly where I want to go, and we've been achieving, but we'd like to achieve more.
Has the roller coaster helped with your learning around this, Philip? Because you were on the scene at 28, you had a Cheltenham Festival winner, a Native Jack, and then you had a couple of difficult years, and now you came back. You had a record number of winners, 43 a couple of years ago, 35 this season, very healthy number. You're fifth in the table, but you had some tough years there as well.
Yeah, I guess I started off, my dad is a dairy farmer, he's just retired. My parents are hugely supportive, but they wouldn't have had a huge knowledge of the business. I started off at 21. I got going very well, very quickly. Then I guess like a load of other people, but just because I suppose we had built it up to be relatively a household name, to go from that then to having a few quieter seasons made people believe that we had sort of, you know, a quieter time or a tougher time. But I think that was, a lot of that was economy at the time, downturn, different things. I don't think it was just about the yard and just about us, but definitely made an awful lot of mistakes along the way, because I started sort of out of my dad's yard at 21, got going very well, very quickly, built a team very quickly. I guess this time it's been much steadier. So we've built a fresh team of people behind me. So having Rosanna doing some of the veterinary at home with Karen, having stalwarts like Johnny and whatever in the yard on yard work, but then Fidelma and Alan, my head people at home, David Nolan and Aisling and Yvonne and all the people, and Declan to help me with the racing. Anthony looks after another little yard. There's so many people that are there now quite a while. I'm sure I've forgotten a number of them, but they're fabulous people, and I'm hugely proud of them. But I'd like to think that I would have assisted in getting some of those people there together. If Dylan Robinson riding out all the time now at home, along with Tiernan, along with Barry Walsh, along with a number of others that are hugely, Simon Torrance comes in a day, but hugely experienced people. So we have a lot of very good riders at home. We have, like, my racing staff, they're talked about around the country. I think they're second to nobody. The work they put in is incredible. We just have a very strong team. And with that now, that's given me the chance to, I suppose, to be able to sit back sometimes and keep an eye on how we push forward, and push forward in the right manner. So I've an awful lot of plans for the future. I don't want to change a huge amount about what we're doing, but I do have a lot of plans to kick on and move forward. As I say, not by increasing numbers hugely, but trying to increase quality, and trying to put partnerships of people together to be able to have a nicer horse. And then trying to give owners a better experience. I think that's the biggest thing. I know if I'm fortunate enough to win the William Hill, the first thing I'm going to do is definitely have an owner's dinner, to to involve them in our success this year, because, as I say, without the owners and without the support of them, none of this would be happening.
Does it teach you a lot about resilience in sport and life when you have hard times and when you're able to come back to the way you have now?
As somebody asked me the other day, we lost a horse on Sunday, passed away racing on the race course down in Cork. And somebody said to me, like, you know, how would it affect you losing a horse? And it's hugely sad because, you know, you work with them every day. They're everything. They're what we get up for in the morning to work with. We absolutely love our horses to bits. So when you lose a horse, or you lose a horse to another yard or anything like that, how do you cope with it? And my attitude is now go out and try. If we have an empty stable, go out and try find two more to go forward, and find another horse. Try find a better horse. Try improve on everything for our owners. Just try to make everything, just every negative, try to turn it into a positive, and just keep trying to kick forward. And I've seen that, like, with Gordon's experience. I don't think he'd mind me saying he had a bad experience a few years ago. He lost a considerable amount of horses to maybe other trainers at the time. But look at his fight back. Look at his resilience, his fight back. So my peers, Willie Mullins, Gordon Elliott, Gavin Cromwell, Henry, those guys, I look up to them. I see what they're doing and I see how hard they work. And yeah, I'd love to emulate it a little bit, but not in numbers. As I say, my whole thing is to try look after owners going forward, but to just keep working really, really hard.
Well said.
Yeah, just that I suppose that numbers thing is fascinating, because I suppose it's something as well. You, when you have that smaller numbers, you have much better control on things, don't you? And as you say, you know, when you talk about communicating with owners, you've had your hand on the horse, you've taken maybe slightly more feedback, there's definitely less of a higher up, you know, it's very much your own. I feel like it's very much your own opinion when you've got smaller horses. Like, you can say, no, that horse definitely did X, Y, or Z. Oh, he definitely, I mean, I put my hand on his leg, I definitely felt a bit of heat there, we're just backing off him. It's not like, oh, my head lad, you know, this apprentice came in and said he didn't go well today. You know, it's very much your hands-on experience translated to the ownership. So it's, I guess, a tighter circle is kind of the point I'm getting to.
I think I really enjoy my race planning also.
Yeah.
So you work with the horses every day, but you've got to make a plan. And everything is about a plan going forward. Everything is about trying to create the next winner. So when people would talk about what's your goal for next year. So my goal for this year, as such, no secret, wanted to have another good year, would like to win the William Hill Series. Why? I would love to win the money to put back into facilities and other things. But also, it's a step forward. So I want my goals to be achievable rather than to be, as I say, something. I want to be able to achieve my goals each year. And as I say, we have a plan over the next 3 years to be able to just try increase on the type of horses that we want to have. And then, so we look at races. So then you see the races and you see the opportunities that there is in Ireland now. And there's so many more opportunities in Ireland now. It's a great time to get involved in jumps racing at any level. And so we have obviously the William Hill Series, but we have an honor initiative where there is a final in Bellewstown tomorrow. There's a €25,000 handicap hurdle up for grabs for horses that have ran in 110 rated races all year. So I've targeted those races. We had a runner in one of those Downpatrick last week. We finished second in it. Fortunate enough to have a horse in Bellewstown tomorrow in a final. We're targeting these races. So we're targeting the races at our level. And then I'm trying to grow my profile as being a target trainer. And then hopefully we'll be able to target races at a higher level. And those races are there for all trainers to target. So you don't need to have a very high class horse to be able to target those races. And I think a lot of people have missed out on the opportunity that has actually put our way. I think HRI are trying really, really hard. I was fortunate enough to be at an owner's event on the Monday evening before Cheltenham, over in Cheltenham, which was put on by HRI. we were able to invite overseas owners to the event as well. It was lovely to meet up with so many personalities there and to get to meet people. Also, Michael Stafford from Stafford Bonding, who has put in a huge amount into Irish racing to advertise his business in the last year. He's obviously O'Driscoll's Whiskey as well, but Stafford Bonding is his parent brand. They were there, I think, sponsoring on the night yet again, and very pleased to be able to say that they're going to come on board with us and maybe become a yard sponsor of mine going forward, which has been one of my goals this year, to pick up somebody who I'd love to pair up with. And Michael was obvious because he's young and very ambitious as well. And I think we'd share an interest in where we'd like to go in racing. So that's hugely positive as well. So there's so much positive going on in jumps racing at the moment. It's a great time to be involved.
That's great to hear, actually. Yeah. Sorry, just Michael and the work he does, obviously, with O'Driscoll's, but he is
incredible.
He loves his racing as well. So it's just a lovely fit as well.
Wanted to stay away from traditional, we'll say, and just do something different. And I think Michael probably admired that too. So that's something going forward that I hope we can grow. But there's so much. When you see the amount of young people at student days, when you see the amount of young people in Cheltenham and Aintree, in Fairy House Grand National last week, I remember going to the Grand National as a kid and queuing to get in. I don't remember queuing to get in for the last 25 years, but we queued to get in and to get out.
I was just thinking, because I think
Monday,
I just pulled out in front of you coming out of barriers. Yeah. I actually saw you coming out.
Road rage.
Stuck
and, rage. So, but that was fantastic. Like, I was proud of that. Like, I'm proud to be involved in jumps racing when you have queues of people going like that, when you have the race courses looking after people the way they do. My only little gripe at the moment is keep trying to look after owners better. I do not feel that owners are looked after well enough.
In what enough. Way? And how are they
prioritised well enough. So, for example, my favourite race course in Ireland. My favourite race course in Ireland is Punchestown. My favourite festival in Ireland is Punchestown. I think the improvements that have been made in race courses throughout the year, the most are Punchestown. I think the young people involved behind the scenes in Punchestown, kicking on the like of the Albert Bartlett series, the different things, it's incredible what they've done. My big, big, big gripe with it is if you go to Cheltenham as an owner and trainer, the facilities for the owners and trainers and how you get looked after in Cheltenham, if you compare that to Punchestown, just think Punchestown is not good enough. We don't have enough space. I totally get it from a perspective that they need the space for looking after paid tables or so as to generate income from the race course. But I think it's up to HRI to find a way, and the trainers and everybody else, to find a way that the whole stand down at the owners and trainers is made there available for owners and trainers for the week. That the owners and trainers that Punchestown are doing a brilliant job of trying to get English people across and get, as I say, UK owners and trainers across. But when they come across, they need to have an experience that they go home feeling like they want to have a runner there again, and that it's a special place to have a runner. And I would love if the whole upstairs of the owners and trainers stand could be made available to owners for the week. That having a runner in Punchestown is very special for the owners. Now, it is already, but I think it can do better. Now, they're way ahead of a lot of the rest of the tracks, way ahead. But Punchestown is our Cheltenham. Leopardstown is our Cheltenham or our Aintree. So we need to match it. We need to give owners an experience in Ireland that is ahead of everywhere else. As I say, Willie Mullins, Henry de Bromhead, Gordon Elliott, all these guys that people have given out about, I think have brought so many of those UK owners and overseas owners from all around the world in into Ireland, and have given us a massive, massive, massive platform to sell ourselves from and to keep those people within the country. So I think we have to give those owners a way better experience. And I think at the race courses, I know the economics of it might suggest otherwise, but I believe that if the owners have an incredible experience at the race course and they want to have runners there again, well, the whole thing will grow from there. I see Nace race course, all my owners love going down. The owners and trainers is very small. it can only facilitate a one-day meeting. I totally get that, whereas Punchestown is a festival. But owners love going there. They want runners there. And I think if that's the we'll say, foundation where the whole thing is grown from, that people want to have horses racing in these race courses, well, then the rest will follow on. But we have to look after our owners better.
Yeah, just on that as well, it's like the importance of having a good experience is so... It's ridiculous, because if you have a bad experience, it's an old kind of marketing adage. If you have a good experience, you'll tell two people. If you have a bad experience, you'll tell seven people. You know, it's a kind of an understood thing of business. So, you know, it's just that importance of making sure all those people, and the likelihood of, you know, an owner telling a friend, oh, I had a brilliant experience at Punchestown, like, they will be friends with other owners who are likely to invest in horse racing, who are likely to go and, well,
and
it where
is,
will we
it
go?
It is a great experience. Yeah. As I say, they do a wonderful job, and it's my favourite place. So I'm saying my favourite place can get better.
Yeah.
I think it's the... So same thing, like Leopardstown at Christmas, fabulous, but limited amount of space for owners. All the bigger tracks, Fairy House the same, everywhere is the same. I just think we are not on par with the UK for looking after the owner experience that there is there yet. And then, as I say, even from a trainer's perspective, I know I'd like to be able to be in a position to give my owners more time and to be able to look after them. To be able to look after them better. And HRI are trying hard, and I applaud all the initiatives and the girls, a lot of young people pushing the thing forward just to try help and make things better. And like, jumps racing in Ireland is so good at the moment. It's just, and as I say, it's great fun to be a part of it, and I'm very proud of it.
Is Montsherif the horse at Ballystown tomorrow?
Montsherif is the horse that is in that final tomorrow.
Got a chance?
Yeah, he has a chance. He does. I thought ground probably was a factor the last day. I've been waiting to run him on a little bit of better ground. As I say, to say earlier that I'm a target trainer and then say he has no chance tomorrow would sound silly. But yeah, no, look at him. He's the horse that we're putting forward for that tomorrow. Hope he runs really well. Have a horse tomorrow also in the Maiden Hurdle to try keep us involved in the Albert Bartlett series, or sorry, the William Hill series. Then we have a number of horses qualified for the Albert Bartlett series in Punchestown to... same fabulous prize money. Have a horse for the Red Mills, Connolly's Red Mills series that is put forward for Punchestown. All these things, all these opportunities that are all there for all of us. And like, it's fantastic. It's just, as I say, it's a great time to be involved in jumps racing. I'm loving it.
Will you be disappointed if you don't have winners at Punchestown?
I would.
And think that we can, you might not want to give the game away, but is there anything, any horses that we should be maybe looking
for? I've said I've targeted races. So I'd hope to be competitive in all those races. Then I'd like to think that we could have maybe a runner or two in some of the cross country races. Probably not good enough to win this year because they're going to have their first go at the cross country, but good enough to run well. Yeah, I have some nice runners during the week, but traditionally over the last two or three years, our horses in Punchestown have ran very well. Love to get to the next level, love to be able to have graded horses there again. Like, that's where we want to go. Getting wonderful support from owners in the last two or three years, because getting behind sort of like what I want to do and where I want to go, and the fact that we want to get into a better type of horse, it's very, very hard. But I think people are seeing what we're doing and where we're trying to go, and the fact that we're doing what we are doing with the horses that we have. So if we can do that, if we can get a better type of horse, where can we go and what can we do with it?
So if I say what myself and Tom want to get involved in a horse at Philip Rothwell's yard, I mean, how expensive is it? Where do you acquire the horse? What's the process?
It's not expensive. It depends. There's all levels. So I think partnerships are a wonderful, wonderful thing, more so than syndicates. So I love partnerships. Why do I love partnerships more than syndicates? Because partnerships, everybody's an individual. So at the moment, HRI have just increased the number of partners in a partnership to 6, which is great. So each partner has their own individual account. So they're all... they have their own accounts, so they're able to manage their own affairs within HRI, so i.e. entries, prize money, everything. They're totally in charge of their own thing. They all get their own passes to go racing as individuals. Their names are on the race card as individuals. I think that's hugely important. And then they've access to me as an individual. So they're not dealing with the head of a syndicate and then the head of the syndicate ringing me and there being a breakdown. I love when each individual partner is able to access me. So we'd have a WhatsApp group with the members in it. So they can access me. They can talk to me. We can talk about plans for horses. I sit down every 2 weeks. I do 7 hours of race planning. So I'd have a fair idea where all the horses are going for the next 3 months and maybe a year. But definitely within the next 3 months, I'd have a fair idea where everything's going. So I'm able to tell people that I'd have a plan, i.e. my horse that ran in Downpatrick last week in the final. People came over from Brighton in the UK. The plan was 6 weeks before that for them to come over from Brighton. Unfortunately, the ground got a little bit soft in the day and we finished second. But for me to pull it off that those people can get there and enjoy their day, that's my job. It would be lovely if we could have got her to win, but that's racing. So then to get involved in a partnership, very simple. So a partner can split their shares. They can actually, a syndicate can be part of a partnership. But I prefer to keep it to individual partners. So you can come down to the yard. I always put people together. I love the fact that some people have never met each other before, but I'd have an idea who'd gel and who'd get on together. I think that's part of the skill of putting the right people together into the right partnership. Then when you put that together, it's done on what people can afford to spend. So whether that be €500 to get involved in a share of in a horse or €50,000 to get involved in a share of a horse, doesn't really matter. Like I gave a syndicate a horse recently that I felt, or a partnership a horse recently that I felt would achieve quite soon. And I gave the horse to them on the agreement that if he achieved and they were happy with him, that I'd get X amount back. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It can be whatever you want to, whatever you're happy and whatever you're comfortable with and what you can afford to put in. I charge €1,250 a month to train a horse, and there's some expenses on top of that. It averages out at about €1,500. So if that's
is that for the full year or only for 9 months?
That's per month. So, but then that fee then can be divided then.
That's incredibly cheap.
Yeah, so that fee then can be, that fee can be divided then.
Is it for the full 12 months? Because sometimes horses might be out to grass.
Oh no, if horses are out to grass, they're all different. So if horses are out to grass, if they're getting fed at grass because they're a little bit weaker and they need some feed, we think we charge €70 a week. If they're out of grass, on just pure grasses, I think it's €40 a week.
About 10 grand a year then maybe?
Yeah, so probably a little more with entries. But that's it. But divide that up between six partners. It's not bad. And as I say, and then I've had partnerships put together in the last couple of years where people didn't know each other, but now they're going for dinner with each other outside of racing. And I think that's wonderful. It's so sociable. The other thing is families. Families are getting together in partnerships as well, or as individuals, and bringing families racing. I think jumps racing at the moment, especially when we're kind of in a rat race, aren't we? Everything is back to before the boom again. We all seem to be so busy all the time. I think to have time for families and see families going racing again and all of that sort of thing, it's hugely important. It's fantastic. The outside of the hospitality for owners, I think prize money is a big issue in Ireland at the moment. I think the prize money fund, a lot of people will disagree with me because we're all always looking for more. But I think there's a fair fund there. I think it's not distributed maybe as well as it could be. And I think on your question a few minutes ago, how much would it cost to keep a horse for a year? Well, I think winning a race should cover keeping a horse for a year. So I think we need to get our minimum prize money up. And I think we need to do that really, 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 really fast in the country for the simple reason we need to hang on to all the people that have came in into the country and to make sense of having a horse in training.
Where do you get the horses from? I mean, and how do you know when you do you go to the sale? Yes. How do you spot them? Oh, that's a good one. How do you...
So, same thing over the last 3 years, definitely changed our focus a huge amount. Traditionally I wouldn't have had the budget to go looking at horses in France and that sort of thing. And obviously they're gone more expensive, but Ireland, as far as I'm concerned, best breeders in the world. We have a huge amount of horses now to choose from. We've actually had an overproduction in the last couple of years. So that has led us to, that's made things for me, like there's been far more opportunity then for me to be able to source horses for an awful lot less money, for great value, for wonderful value for owners. I had a couple of runners at the Fairy House Festival. One of them was a 4,000 euro store out of the July sales 2 years ago. One of them was one that couldn't be sold in the Derby sales, and a friend of mine gave it to me for free. So I sold it out. One of them, so they were my Fairy House Festival runners. Like, we have horses going to Punchestown that didn't cost a lot of money. Obviously, I'm very, very fortunate that in the last two or 3 years that I'm getting support to go and buy more expensive ones now as well, which is great because it's helping to grow our profile. But it doesn't have to be expensive.
You go to Point to Points?
I do. So a lot of the horses are sourced from the Point to Points now as well. But we bought a placed Point to Pointer for, I think, 5,000 euros 18 months ago. He's won 3 handicap hurdles for me. He's went to Cheltenham last November and been placed. Hopefully he'll run at Punchestown Festival as well. So our spend on Point to Pointers has been as low as that up to considerable amount more. So every weekend I follow all the Point to Points. I ring all my friends in Wexford and annoy the hell out of them every week because they know my budget is small and they know I'm fishing from at a lower level. But I annoy them every weekend to see what's going on. So Sunday and Monday I'm a thorn in their sides, but I think they respect the fact of what I'm trying to do. And that's my budget and that's where I'm at. So I home in on that then for the winter from October to March or April, I suppose. And then store sales then throughout the summer. So into the Land Rover sales, into the Derby sales, into the July sales. There's so many horses for sale and you do not need a big budget. It's a big help. It's yes. Definitely a huge help, and it would be nice for us to be able to shop at a higher level again and to be able to buy a horse that you have a fair chance of achieving more with, but it doesn't have to be expensive.
Philip Rothwell, well done on the season. Congratulations. Continued success. And I think we know you're going to win the William Hill
the ultimate sport behind it. We're good.
Well, I'm not sure. There's a lot of guys chomping on my heels, and I see some of them with double entries in the maiden tomorrow. And I'm sure guys will have double and treble entries next week as well, trying to catch up on extra points. So we'll try to stay strong too. And the biggest thing is I might be a fair bit ahead on the trainers, but I'd love to be able to support my stable staff and my jockeys as well. So we need to stay fighting really
good
hard
stuff.
And really hard next week, and we'll do our best.
Well done. Thanks for coming into the Racing Pod studio, myself and Tom, today, Philip.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Okay, we're about to preview tomorrow's Scottish Grand National at Ayr now. But before we do, let's recap on what Johnny Ward told us on the pad last week before Saturday's Aintree Grand National. Who's your selection and why?
I'm with Ian Maximus because, you know, it's fairly straightforward. He was second in the race last year to Nick Roggett. On that occasion, he carried 167 was his weight or his rating. This year, he's 168. His run behind Afterdale Fury at Leopardstown, for me, suggested he's as good as ever, this horse. He is quirky. He somehow has won the Irish National, even though at one point he looked like he badly needed to go left-handed. But he did win the Irish National. He was sent off 7-1 last year. I don't really see why he should be any bigger this year, and he's slightly bigger. This would have been his plan, even though he ran at Leopardstown, the Dublin Race Festival. He hasn't run since. He's been kept deliberately fresh for this race. And it is still a somewhat unique test, I think, you know, even if it's not a great jumping test. And he absolutely took to it like a duck to water last year. He has a marginal edge on that form over Grange Clare West, who's the mount this year.
And Patrick Mullen. Well done, Johnny Ward. I am Maximus, much better than what I threw at the race, but no, luckily, Johnny saved the day. Folks, you want to be with the chance of winning tickets to the Punchestown races at the end of the month? Well, we're going to do a draw for Racing Pod Club members. So if you haven't already, join the Racing Pod Club for free at offtheball.com/racingpodclub. So, Tom, what did you pick in the Grand National?
I actually, and this is going to sound like horrendous after timing, but I did back IMAX.
Of course you did.
And I am very intrigued to how he will get on in his bid for a three-peat, but the horse who paraded with him yesterday is going to be is going to be some danger off about a stone lower than
the marks. He could be a Gold Cup horse,
of course. Milan.
Yeah. He could be a Cheltenham Gold Cup horse.
Yeah, potentially. I'm just intrigued what he does, but I mean, I'm sure they'd be tempted to have a cut at Aintree the way he won that Irish Grand National.
Yeah, like, procession. You
know, and again, knowing that I'm Maximus will be there with 11 stone 10 or for 173 odd, he's going to be, even if he still goes up to maybe 160, he's going to be trotting around with sort of sub 11 stone. It's a very exciting prospect for them. I'm sure they haven't not thought about it.
So folks, you've been listening carefully. Keep an eye on Monsherif number 12 and the 350 at Ballystown on Saturday each way for Philip Rothwell, our guest this afternoon. Just in terms of tomorrow's Scottish Grand National, Tom, at Ayr, this is 3:35. It says soft ground, but you know, it might be more good to soft, I think, by the post time. 21 runners. William Mullins has got an entry again in this one. Road to Home, who was second at the Kim Muir Chase at Cheltenham. Patrick Mullins rides again. The one I was interested in here, by the way, Kim Rock is in here at 6 years of age. Joseph O'Brien, obviously talented, nice weight, fourth in the Kim Muir, and he had Jordan's place in the Grand National last week, Joseph O'Brien. The one I liked was Promontory. Only four runs over fences. Won the Dublin National last time out at Leopardstown. I thought it was quite an interesting outsider. In the colours of Malcolm Denmark, who we may remember from Monsignor back in the day, and also Pleasant Company. But Sarah Connell, don't know much about Sarah Connell.
But it'd be some couple of weeks for Dunham Isler after winning an Irish
16-1, the one that caught my eye, and a bit of money for it as well. Promontory, nice low weight, and was a good jumping, staying on winner of the Dublin National last time.
Yeah, the one I like is Lucinda Russell and this Michael Scudamore's horse, King of Answers. Look, going the right way, obviously placed last time out, has won on softer going as well, has won at Kelso. I was just looking back at, you know, who's won Grand Nationals in the last sort of 10 years, and the only non-Irish trainers to do it in the last decade or so is Lucinda Russell. So I just obviously had an eye on that, and it just feels like maybe this is, as Philip spoke about, the plan. Certainly feels like it's a plan, whereas maybe some of the Irish horses feels a little bit more like it's a secondary, it's a backup after the Kim Muir or Cheltenham Exertions. But yeah, King of Answers for me in the Scottish Grand National.
You can get about 13-2 at the moment on King of Answers. Lucinda Russell won it in 2021, 5 years ago, with Mighty Thunder. Willie Mullins has won the last couple of renewals. The Scottish Champion Hurdle as well, the other big race at Ayr on Saturday at 2:20. The horse I liked in this was Captain Hugo.
Oh, cool. So do I. Yes, yes. I know.
The curse.
The Kingwell and the Morbrattle would be, like, they used to be such massive races, but they just seem like ideal potential trots. I know Captain Hugo kind of fell two runs ago in that run at Kelso, but yeah. I thought that was
5-1 Captain Hugo. Look, Teller the Name was a very promising novice and gone to Dan Skelton, Harry Skelton, and a big money for it, but to me it needs to prove it on the form book. And Tuji Quanti was hammered in the Champion Hurdle after winning so impressively at Newbury. Money for that as well, as is there's money as well for Secret Squirrel and Oh Betty. But I think Captain Hugo is progressive, never been out of the first two when he's completed in his life, so he'll do for me. Then the Curragh on Sunday, Tom, the alleged stakes. Is this all about Twain, and is this all about race fitness? Because I saw Big Gossie coming out and winning. He's the only horse that I think was the Irish Lincolnshire, or was it?
He won the, he came and won over 7 furlongs there last week. But yeah, it was in
it the... It wasn't the Irish Lincolnshire. Ribby won that, but...
No, he... because he...
But he's the only horse who had a run.
Yes. And he... And would you believe it was his 50th run at the Curragh, and then he won, and it's his 12th career win and his 9th win overall. So just the most phenomenal horse. Absolutely. Big Gossie is just the most incredible performer at the Curragh. One of those horses that just absolutely thrives for his racing. And even, you know, he won't even stand around for a photographer, you know, that kind of way. He's just buzzy and all go. And he had a prep run in the Lincoln, really. But that prep run was so crucial. But yeah, this, obviously, like the likes of Twain in this.
Yeah, Hills of Put Up Odds, actually, Tom, sorry. Yeah, Royal Rhyme 5-2, hasn't been out in the year. Green Impact 100-30. Red Letter 9-2. Twain 5-1. Then Trust Your Instinct 9-1. 16-1 bar. I mean, Trust Your Instinct is course and distance winner. But Twain won a Group 1 last year. you know?
Yeah, as a 2-year-old, yeah. I mean, he hasn't been seen for, you know, 400 odd days. I mean, yeah. He has been spoken about as a potential Irish Guinness horse, but okay. You really have to, you know, the fact he's 5-1, you just have...
Might need the run, just to get to match sharpness.
He will need the run.
He's 2024, you're right, actually, yeah.
Aidan O'Brien's comments about horses after races, they're miles behind the moment. You couldn't, in good consciousness, tip up an Aidan O'Brien horse at this for another couple of weeks just yet. You just know they all need doing. Even what he said about Pierre Bernard in his Derby trial, he said, look, we're going to run him in 2 Derby trials. He took 2 blows in the race. Like, the horse is big as a house. It's intriguing. Again, Albert Einstein comes back out in the Greenham as well on Saturday at Newbury too. So
maybe Bassett is the one, because that horse did win the last time.
Yeah,
16-1.
Very progressive. 16-1.
And I know it was only a listed race, but...
Yeah, and Joseph won this race last year with Galen, wasn't it? Who just jumped out in front and made all.
16-1, Bassett. Maybe that's the one to be on.
She's a very, very progressive filly. And again, it's a day to catch them. You know, do a big gossy. Just catch these good horses. Like, by the end of the year, she won't be the best of these, but she's a chance to win. She's a chance to win on Sunday. Owned by Kevin Blake, actually.
That's right.
Luck, amongst others, yeah.
Yeah, very good journalists, the pair of them. The Greenham Stakes, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Greenham. Actually, I really fancy a horse in this because...
Is this your charity bet?
Albert Einstein going in that. So yeah, I'm going to pop up my charity bet.
Okay, it's Tom Malone's charity bet, folks. Johnny's not here. He's basking in his Ion Maximus victory. So Johnny is on... the Caribbean now after I Maximus won. I'm only joking, but a €50 win or 25 each way in the nose. Tom Malone's charity bet this week is on the Racing Pod.
Yeah, we're going straight on the nose with Zavateri, who of course won the Vincent O'Brien Goff's National Stakes at the Curra last year, was 4th in the Dewhurst, and he is heading towards the 2000 guineas. You have Albert Einstein in here, but I think Albert Einstein does not get this. And the good news for us as punters is Albert Einstein is giving us a much better price on Zavateri. So Zavateri for the win in the Greenham.
15-8, Zavateri, Tom Malone's charity bet on the Racing Pod this week. 2:00 at Newbury on Saturday. €50 on the nose, Zavateri, 15-8. Please gamble responsibly if you're going to get involved. Tom, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
John. That was great.
And that was the Racing Pod for this week. We will chat soon ahead of Punchestown. Remember, Punchestown, every single day we've got a Racing Pod. 10 a.m. live stream. The pods will drop at 11:30 every morning from the Tuesday to the Friday. We won't have one on the Saturday, but Tuesday to Friday, Punchestown week, the Racing Pod every single day for you in your pod inbox, all for free. We're back next week. We'll speak to you then.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.